Okay, we are here. I appreciate you jumping up and down, young man. It is absolutely freezing in this place.
Yes, it is.
I am, my feet, my legs, everything. Welcome to the program. My name is Jesse Peterson, and my guest today is Faye Coleman. She's been with me the last 2 weeks, and hopefully she'll stay for another 2 weeks. And she also hosts a show here on Monday nights at 6:30 called The Word. I have a problem with that, but we'll talk about that in a minute, The Word. And also, Faye, tell us some of the fun things about you. We've been yelling at you the last 2 weeks.
Thank you.
What is fun about you?
Well, I don't wear suits all the time, you know. I love nature. And I own horses. I own 3 horses. And I've done some showing and breeding. And I just enjoy going out and mingling with nature to think and relax and get out of this concrete jungle for a while and all these people and all these cars and all this madness. And I like to go and sit with the chickens and ride my horses and just relax.
And you live in Watts?
I live in South Central, not too far from Watts.
Do you own horses in Watts?
Or no. Oh. Well, actually, we board them out in North Long Beach.
Oh, okay.
Along the riverbed, there's trails all up and down the
that
riverbed.
That is nice.
So I've been into horses for about 20 years.
Why did you title your show The Word?
You know how some of the young people say now, word up? You know, what's the word? You know, well, I wrote a song about 2 years ago called The Word. And so when it came time to give the show a name, the word just came right to my mind. I used it for this show and my other show. And
oh, so when you say the word, you're not talking about the Bible.
The word is all, the Bible encompasses all walks of life. So I talk about everything on the show. I talk about black problems. I talk about white problems. I talk about Chinese problems. I talk about all things. But I don't know everything.
Affirmative action. How do you feel about that? And it's a big issue now that here in California, they're trying to change that law and overturn affirmative action.
Yeah, I've heard some talk. I missed one of the meetings on it, as a matter of fact, so I didn't get a chance to get in deep.
And what do you think about affirmative action?
Well, my personal opinion, from what little I know about it, I believe that we should keep it.
You do?
We need some in.
And why is that?
Because as a people, I think all people need assistance. But since we never got that 40 acres and a mule, and we do have some problems in our own communities as a people, we need all the help that we can get, including pulling our own selves by our own bootstraps. But I don't want us to lose affirmative action.
You don't think the last 30 years has been enough help for us?
No.
You know, we need more.
I think that anybody should get help as long as they need it.
Really?
At the same time, they need to learn at some point when they can, you know, get a wave and do on their own.
How can you believe in God, be called by God, and believe that?
Be called by God and believe what?
An affirmative action.
I don't understand the question.
How can a person, if a person, you said that you were called by God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves me to believe that you believe in Him,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you believe in Him, how can you believe in the things you just said about affirmative action, that we need more help, and all that stuff that you just said?
I believe that God does help those who help themselves. But as a people, our people have been, particularly our black men, have been attacked by things that are going on in this society. And we ourselves have been, in many cases, blaming other people for it as well. But sometimes people need to feel better about themselves so that they can at least try. But some of us have given up.
But, you know, I don't like that. I don't know this thing about black men being attacked. That's not true. I don't know what that means. What do you mean when you say black men have been attacked?
Black men are being attacked. For instance, if a white guy goes to apply for a job and a black man goes to apply for the job, it's a reality and a basic fundamental thing that's been going on forever, that the black man has to be 10 times as good as the white guy.
What's wrong with that?
Well, you should be the best that you should be, but it shouldn't be such an overextension of your abilities just to be able to do something that you want to feed your own family.
And that what you mean by attack? He's been rejected.
That's one of the things. But there
and if he's so well prepared and the white man turned him down, why don't he go and either knock on another door or start his own thing?
Well, I think that what we should be pushing basically as a people or as a in this country, we're all taught to get an education and go get a job, when we should be getting an education or being a better person so that we can become entrepreneurs ourselves. We need to be taught and to inspire each other to try to be a better person for ourselves and open up our own businesses.
I want to ask you, then I want to ask this guy. Do you think that black men have been or is being attacked? Yeah, I'm asking you. Uh-huh.
No, they're not being attacked.
So when you hear her say that, I hear it a lot from people. What does that mean to you? What do you think that they mean?
Well, to me, it's silly and a false premise. Just like she was saying that when you go ask for a job, did you know what? That burns me on the inside. You know, when you go ask for a job, well, then they lie to take the, they're going to hire the Caucasian. Well, why is I'm down there asking for a job anyway? Why can't they come ask me for a job? I'm a man just like they are. We got the same, we work under the same constitution. Why is it that I got to go ask him for a job and he don't come ask me for one?
That's what I just said. We should be trying to become entrepreneurs ourselves.
But you don't need no affirmative action for that. What do I need with affirmative action? What? In other words, what you telling me is I'm deformed. I'm handicapped.
You know,
I can't compete.
Did you know that
on honesty?
Did you know that when white people and women say to the black man that you need affirmative action?
Mm-hmm.
That's a put down to us.
Oh, I understand what you're saying on that level.
Because what you're really saying is that we don't have any respect for you because you don't respect yourself. You can't do it. Even though you're a man just like this other man, you can't do it. So we're going to give you something. Do you realize that's a put down to black men?
Well, I understand to a certain degree it is a put down if you put it in that light, yes.
What other light could it be put in?
Yeah.
What other light could it be put in?
A brighter light.
Like what, for example?
As I said, a brighter light. As I said, affirmative action isn't something I'm as well versed on as I indicated
right.
initially.
Yeah,
so
honey,
I think what
affirmative action is preferential treatment. In other words, you don't have to make it on your own merit. I'm gonna give you something. You don't need no scales. When I come, if I go to you to ask for a job, you raise the standards. Don't lower them.
Give it
because
a
I'm
to
the one intending to set the standards for the rest of them to go by.
But as I said, all the issues involved in affirmative action need to be brought out so that we can know exactly what all the issues are. It's not just that one thing that we're talking about here.
And
so, it's a pretty long document from what I understand. The affirmative action, the father who wrote, there was a forum on...
Yeah.
On television the other night, it was a form, and I missed part of it, but the father of the affirmative action was on there talking about it, so I didn't get the whole thing.
Will you tell the father that we don't want it, that we can do it ourselves, that we are strong men who can finally began to stand up and fend for ourselves? So next meeting, will you let them know that?
Who
is the father?
I forget the guy's name. I happened to turn the channel. I think it was on 45, and it was Jesse Jackson, Maxine Waters, and several other people were there discussing it.
All the enemies of the community. They need to be ran out of town. Don't you think? I know you got a question, but let me ask you just one question here. I noticed in your information here that you were a student at Reverend Dr. Caesar Murray Church of Administration, something like that?
Oh, right. That was a church administration class that he taught.
And you attended that class?
Yes, I did.
What was the purpose of that class?
Church administration, if you're going to run a church or be the pastor over a church and in charge of the so-called flock, you need to know how to deal with those people. As you know, some church people in church can make you want to run and holler. So you have to learn the dynamics of how to deal with those people and how to run a church. It's like running a business.
Did you know that he passed out condoms at a church?
I don't know that.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm.
He passed out condoms to the kids and to the members of the church.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time you heard that?
Yeah, it's the first time I heard that he did that, yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. And now that you've heard that, what do you think? Is that good thing to do in the church, or what's your opinion about that?
I'm still kind of in limbo about the whole condom issue because it's such a catch-22 situation. And there are sites saying that if you give them condoms, then you're saying have sex. But then if you don't pass out the condoms and they still have more teen pregnancies and more people catching diseases that maybe they wouldn't catch. So I'm kind of in limbo on that. I think that if the kids knew better in the first place, you wouldn't have to pass out condoms. They would know what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, if they had better homes. Huh?
If they had, it all comes back to that family. We got to start it in the beginning. We shouldn't have society and schools and people trying to teach our kids. We ought to teach our kids ourselves and the right thing.
That's right.
Not to sit up and smoke crack with you.
And not let preachers give them condoms.
Well, maybe
let's
not.
Do it the way Jesus said. If you sin, you shall surely die. Mm-hmm. Meaning that we have to pay the price for what we do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yes, sir. In the back.
On the issue of affirmative action, I just wanted to speak for myself, being a white man. I don't feel that anybody's out there really helping me. And I don't feel, I've tried to get a lot of jobs, and because I don't have an education, people don't hire me. People, I've had to just educate myself. I haven't been able to find jobs, but I've had to create my own jobs by being industrious and becoming an entrepreneur. And I think I'm struggling like a lot of black men. I have a lot of black brother friends, and we've come together and learned how to educate ourselves in a way that we can thrive in the society. But I don't think anybody hands anything out to anybody. Ultimately, black, white, yellow, red, whatever color you are, you're going to have to pick yourself up.
That's true, by your own bootstraps.
Because we're not born with a silver spoon, mm-hmm. At least most people. I wasn't.
I used to think that white folks got it easy all the time. Definitely, you're white, you got it.
You know, I've been around a lot of rich.
I found out that's not true.
I mean, I've been around a lot of rich white kids growing up. And they have it as their evils are as bad as, I think, it's just different. I mean, you look at the Menendez brothers, or you look,
yeah.
I mean, the molestations,
right.
the violation, just, and the emotional abuse can be just as evil. It's just in a different form.
Yeah.
I mean, money, it can be evil.
Yes.
So it's not about how many cars you have and the kind of home you live in, but.
Absolutely. What's your mission in life? Thank you, sir.
Well, I call myself, and I love to inspire. I write poetry. I write things on, in other words, if there's a negative situation, I see it in a beautiful light. I try to inspire people. I want to inspire black men and women to come together because they are the ones who are going to be the basis and the foundation for the black family. That's part of our problem right now, the dissension between the black male and female.
Yeah.
So as a first commitment to my people, that's what I'm here. I'm doing something
right.
Instead of sitting back and pointing the finger at other people. I'm trying to do something to make
a
difference.
Well, I like the fact that you're trying to do something.
And at the same time, I want to reach out to all of humanity because I'm sick and tired of all the hate and people hating each other because of the color of their skin. And if we get to the basics, we can eliminate that.
Would you ever date a white man?
Personally, I prefer my black men. I prefer black men.
So meaning, no, I wouldn't? You wouldn't?
No.
You wouldn't? And why is that?
I just feel more like I'm dealing with myself when I deal with a brother. I just have a preference.
Well, I admire that. I'm glad you won't marry a white man.
I think that, I just think that we need to stick together and make ourselves stronger first. We are not, like I said, when I see programs on television where black men and women are seen arguing with each other, fighting each other, the black man is being emasculated by the black woman, and he's beating her or pimping her. I mean, we need to start seeing more positive images, not only on television, but everywhere. And in order for us to grow as a people, we have to, the two people that are the most important to the black family have got to come together as friends, not as competitors, not as enemies.
And that's true. I absolutely agree with that. But it's just going to be so hard for that to happen because the woman has been in charge for so long,
mm-hmm.
You know, the black woman. And it's just hard for her to come down off the throne. And the man is going to have to be real strong in order to bring her down from that throne. But that is what we need to do.
And it's, you can't drag and beat anybody off of that throne if they don't want to come off. You might shoot them and kill them and take them off. But if you want that individual to come off that throne and join you, then I'd like to inspire. And that is to show you, and to come at you a different way than to say, now look, I'm sick and tired of you. You know, I wish we could get along.
Yeah.
You know, I really do love you in spite of all these things that we have against each other.
Amazing. Do you think we're all the same? All black people are the same?
No.
And so, because I noticed that black people think in groups. They don't think individually. Is that good to think in groups instead of individually? Okay, we're going to take a break. Will you hold that thought?
Okay.
We'll take a break and be back in a moment. Thank you.
Bond, Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man. For more information, call our Los Angeles office at area code 213-759-3844. Oregon office, area code 503-955-1651. Or write, Post Office Box 86253, Los Angeles, California, 90086. Bond, Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man.
My guest today is Faye Coleman, and she's helping us to understand the situation of the black community.
Not to understand, to try to be a part of an understanding coming about.
And why do black people think in groups as opposed to individually?
Why do we think in groups? Well, I never looked at it that we thought in groups. But individually, as I look at other cultures, they tend to think, if you say thinking in groups, I mean, just like when I took that multiculturalism class as an example of something that people do innately, but I looked in class and we blacks kind of sat over here and the Koreans kind of sat over here and the Hispanics kind of sat in a certain area. It was just like naturally that we kind of grouped together with our own kind. And if you say we're thinking in groups,
we're all Democrats, we're all liberal, we all believe in the government, we all believe that we need leaders. We all, I mean, Jesse Jackson can go on TV and tell us to vote no, and 90% of black folks will run out and vote no. Even if they don't like no, they'll still vote no, mm-hmm. because a black person said it. Why do we think like that?
I think it's because we want to see a voice for us. We want to...
No, we don't. I mean, let me ask this then. Why do we need a voice for us? Why can't we be our own voice?
Well, most of us can't get up and go be a policeman, go be Chief Williams and Mayor Bradley. And Because I think that one of my shows that I did recently was called The Slave Mentality. And basically, when people are, some things after a while, if you keep breeding something into them, it becomes a natural thing. And there was a time in our slavery time when we were taught to be against each other. And that caused us to be afraid of each other and not trust anyone, including ourselves. And so what I think that we need to do is to learn to trust each other and support each other. Many of us don't support each other, and many of us rip each other off. We steal from each other. We shouldn't do that. You know, as a group, we need to collectively come together and support and love each other and help each other. You know how difficult it is to try to get somewhere and get a black person to help you? Because they're afraid that if you get where they're going, you might take over what they got.
And so
it's called the crab syndrome.
You think that that's why they need a leader, someone to speak for them?
Well, as I say, we should all be our own leaders. We shouldn't be looking for a leader to come and tell us what to do.
Right.
If you know what's right and you know what's wrong and you want to stand for something, if you want things to change, then you get up and do something about it. That's why I do the shows. That's why I go do something. I think we all need to try to do something rather than wait on someone else to do something and blame the others.
And do you think we need to break away from that group mentality?
I think one of the things that we have a problem with in this country is me, me, me. And we should be more of the thing. We means us. I'm not just in it for me. I'm in it to try to help us become a better people. And not just my people as an African American, but that's all people. Let's stop talking about each other and tearing each other down and hating each other and fearing each other. Ask some of the white guys when a black guy gets on the elevator how they feel when he walks in there. Ask the brothers who have stood on elevators, and when white women come in there with their purses, they step to the side of the elevator because the negative stereotypes that have been perpetrated towards African-American males is that they're going to rob you and steal you and beat you up and rape you.
Because that's a reality.
It's not a reality, not in all cases. You wouldn't do that.
But so many of them will until people to become protective.
Just like there's some white men who still to this day wear those caps with white sheets wearing them. But not all white men hate and want to wear those robes and treat black people or certain races like Hitler treated them. But there are some people who feel that way still.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have a question, or more like a comment of what I wanted to say. One of the things is when I hear...
Speaking to the mic for me.
I'm sorry. When I hear people talk like that is, when are we going to stop paying so much attention to everybody else and what everybody else is doing and focusing what we are doing?
That's right.
That's a lot of distraction. That's mm-hmm. a lot of time being taken away.
Right.
And it takes more effort and more responsibility for you to take care of yourself. And another thing I wanted to say is most of my friends around my age, they don't seem to really want to work because it's hard to take care of yourself. It's hard to go out there and do it every day. They don't seem to want to do it, and they don't think that they should have to work as hard. And they don't seem to understand that it is hard for everybody to get out there and work. There's nothing particularly hard.
Lazy bombs. Huh.
Well, I know that laziness is a problem.
Don't you think most black guys are lazy?
No, I don't.
You don't think they're lazy?
I have to disagree with you on that.
Well, they are.
All black men are lazy.
I had a company and I tried to hire some of them.
That was
they
your company.
They would not work.
That was your company.
And then they go to the white man company. They want to start at the top instead of the bottom and tad down from the top.
No, that's not all.
What's wrong with them that they don't want to work?
Huh?
Because he's making a good point. What's wrong with black guys that they don't want to work?
I think that in some cases, they don't want to work for someone else. It's like the brother just said earlier, we want to be our own boss, and sometimes we don't want to even go working for someone else.
And so they're not going to work at all just because they don't want to work for someone?
I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but I just know that all black men are not lazy.
Not all. Those are working. We know that they are working, but majority of them are lazy.
You're saying the majority. That's a lot of black men.
That's right.
It is more money employed than it is employed.
But there are also some reasons why they're unemployed.
Yeah, because because they won't discipline themselves. They won't. They can stand around on the corner all day, but why don't they go to the library?
It all goes back.
Why they don't go to the library and start educating themselves? It don't cost nothing to go to the library, and these women that's got these babies laying around the house every day, how come you can take all the kids to the library? How come she don't go and get her some books and use an elevator self so she can get her own business, elevator so she'll have some value to somebody else?
I agree with you 2,000%. But it all comes back to that one fact that I talked about and we all
right
been
here
talking about for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It all comes back to the family structure.
Is it hard for you to say that they're lazy?
Because I can't say all of them are lazy. I know too many beautiful, successful black men.
Like who?
I don't need to bring up names. I think we can look around at some of the companies and situations that are going on right now with African-American males in charge.
But then, as he just said, majority of them are not working.
I don't believe that.
Why you don't believe it?
I just don't.
Do you think majority of black men are working?
I don't think that the majority of them are not working.
So that means that you think that they are working?
They're doing something. Maybe they're working for themselves. Show me the statistics.
No, but my point to you, though, the only thing I'm trying to do is understand, uh-huh, you do believe that majority of black men are working. If they're working for themselves or working for someone else, you believe that they are working.
No, initially you said that the majority of black men are lazy.
Right.
And then we got into the majority
are lazy,
of them not working.
But you said that they
so
are
I'm
working.
Not saying, I don't know what the statistics are as far as how many are working. I simply address the reality that all black men are not lazy. I simply don't believe that.
Do you think that most black men, there are more black men working than not?
Not a whole lot of, I don't know. I just know that a lot of black men are being eliminated from certain companies.
Yes, sir. Oh, you know, I wanted you to say something before. What was that?
Oh, we're talking about groups.
Oh yeah. What did you say about groups, blacks and groups? Speaking to the mic.
About groups, I'm just saying a lot of people like to think in groups, whether it's a white race or the black race, because it takes away the independence of the man.
Yeah.
Because then they can just, they can, it can be a group decision and then nobody has to take responsibility for it. They just said, oh, we just all think that.
And it
eliminates individual thought and individual freedom and all that other stuff.
Do you think whites think more in groups or black thinks in groups?
I say that's about even.
Oh.
I say it's pretty close.
What planet is more? Are all you guys Democrats?
Pardon me?
All blacks are Democratic. Most of them, not all, but a small percent of them began to change
a little
over.
Bit.
Huh?
Trends changing a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. You look nice on TV. I see you on TV over there. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. People are afraid to stand up and stand alone.
Right, right. When you say it yourself, you have to take the responsibility of what you just said.
Yeah.
Instead of letting a leader or somebody else do your talking.
That's
or,
right.
Or take the bullet.
Or yeah, or take the bullet, yeah.
Let's talk. We're winding down. Thank you so much, sir. We're winding down. Let's talk about solutions. How can we, even though we've already talked about them, how can we make a real positive change in this country? If we wanted to change it overnight, what is the solution?
Well, it took too long for it to get this way, so it's not going to be an overnight thing. I just hate it when someone says to me that it's impossible, because I believe that anything is possible if you really want it to happen.
Uh-huh.
But it's shows like this. It shows like mine. It's people standing up and trying to do something rather than sitting back and going along for the ride and pointing the finger at other people. If you have an opinion about something, then make an opportunity to say it.
Yeah.
You know, you have your opinions about things, and I have my opinions about things, and they have their opinions about
I don't have any opinions.
Well, you have whatever.
Yeah, no opinions. Right. My opinion, if I had an opinion, it'd be screwed up.
Well, you know, I'm just simply saying that more of us need to become more aware of what's going on and turn off some of those soap operas and get away from O.J. Simpson trial for a while and look at reality and try to make a difference.
Do you think homosexuality is right?
No, I don't.
You know, okay. Good. We're out of time. I appreciate you coming on.
What?
When we come back next week, I want to ask this young lady a question. How old are you? Uh-huh. How much?
12.
Good. When we come back next week, I want to ask you something, okay? Thank you for coming on again.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, welcome to the program. I'm still wearing my Afro-American shirt here.
And I'm still wearing my suit. He won't let me go home and change.
Yeah, we've stayed here for a month. Today is a month we've been together. And we haven't had sex. Isn't that something? It's hard for a guy to... That's right. So you could stay with me an entire month and we won't have sex.
I understand.
The average guy would be all over you by now, huh?
I wouldn't know.
Oh. Faye is my guest today, Faye Coleman, if you didn't tune in last week. We were talking about the family, black Americans, Afro-American, whatever they are, and white folks and everything. Faye originally wanted to come on and talk to me about some of the things I said. Is there anything else that you disagree? Are you agreeing with me about things now?
Well, as I said earlier, there's some things I agree with and there's some things I don't. But
do you like the manness in me? Do you see me as a strong man?
Oh, I love to see any man be strong and be a man, but not foolish.
Women like strong men.
We like men who are in charge of themselves and have a direction and are positive and not negative.
What do women think about a man that would turn his household over to her?
What do you mean by turning his household? Oh, you mean letting her take control of the house?
Uh-huh.
What do I think about that?
A man that does that.
Well, I don't know of any man per se who turns the household over. I think that maybe he's allowing her to be herself in her role or play her part in a family situation.
What do you think about a man that is not the head of his family, his home? He will allow the woman to become the head of the home
and not be a part of raising the children and maintaining the household. I don't think very much of him if he's not there to play a positive role, not to sit back and watch football games all day.
When you say maintaining, you don't mean cooking and ironing and cleaning.
Well,
right?
I think that the men can do that too. I know men who will cook as well as, you know, go out in the yard and clean up and, you know, work on the cars. Myself, I've been underneath the car and tried to fix it, you know.
Did you know that a man who cleans and iron and cook and has a wife at home is a woman? That's not a real man?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a woman.
Who told you that?
Because that's a woman's job, and a real man doesn't want to clean a house. Do you want to clean a house?
If he wants it clean, I would think he would.
Would you want to clean a house and cook and iron and all that kind of stuff? See, a real man wouldn't want to do that. So if you find a man that is doing that, he's a woman on the inside.
So you mean that if a woman is able to work on her car, if no one's there to fix it, then she's a man?
That's a man's job. And it would be too bad that she would have to do that I think that she would have to do whatever necessary.
But does that make her a man on the inside?
Manly qualities.
Don't you agree that we all have both qualities? We have the soft and we have the hard in us?
I agree that men and women have men and women qualities.
Uh-huh.
But I think that men have to overcome the woman quality in him. That's what salvation is all about, overcoming the female spirit, the female identity. I know now men are being encouraged to nourish the woman in him and be more feminine and soft, but that's a horrible mistake. The man has to overcome the woman in him.
Well, that's just like being too much of anything. I think as long as there's a balance.
No, he can't be it, period. You can't balance no man and woman in there.
You have to get rid of one.
They both can't dwell in the same home.
Two people of the opposite sex can't dwell in the same home if they respect each other for who they are.
But I'm talking about if a man got the nature of a woman in him, he can't. A man's spirit can't dwell there with the woman's spirit. One got to leave and let the other live there. And so as man overcome, which is salvation, the woman spirit, because man is born of woman and then of God, meaning that he come through the woman, so he take over her identity, her spirit, her nature. And then after suffering for a while and realizing that's the wrong way to go, he repent of it, and then he's born of the spirit, which is of God. And so one leaves as the other take over. But we got a blind society now which is encouraging men to nourish the hell in them, the woman's spirit. So that's not good for a man to become more woman, be more soft and emotional.
Just like it isn't good for a woman to be so macho and so male, which is why we have these heads going together now between the races, because there are some women who don't have the balance I was talking about. For instance, when I'm not wearing a suit or a beautiful, elegant dress to go out to dinner and be treated like a queen, like I treat my man like a king, when I'm not in these clothes, you'll find me in a pair of dirty jeans and a pair of tennis shoes with a cap on my head, training or working with horses. Not afraid to get dirty because that's what I have to do for that time. That's what I happen to enjoy. That doesn't make me a man. That makes me a strong female. Not aggressive, not a itch with a B.
That simply means
that I think that as a man, you would much rather have a strong woman raise your children, the seeds that you put in her body, rather than one of those weak fools. Because a strong woman is better able to take care and nurture that family than a weak one is.
Define a strong woman.
A strong woman is knows how to talk to and deal with her children, knows how to raise them, will be there when they need to be there, even when she's tired. She knows how to take care of them. She knows how to inspire them and influence them to do positive things. My mother is my greatest role model in life.
Where's your dad?
My dad passed away last year in May.
And why wasn't he your role model?
He's not here anymore, but they're on my resume. If you notice, I say my two favorite people. It's my mom and dad. But we're talking about my mom right now.
Who had a greater impact in your life, your dad or your mother?
They both had an impact.
Who had a greater impact?
As far as a greater impact, I don't know how to quite say that, because my father was a very powerful individual, a very aggressive, and he demanded respect. But at the same time, you have to give it to him, because my father was a deep individual. He was heavy. He didn't have much of an education, but when a man and a woman can raise 12 children in the side of town that I was raised in, and none of us go to jail, be in prison, and have problems, at least I don't think I'm mentally insane. But if you can, or I'm doing drugs or anything like that, if two people can do that, then there's something different and unique about those individuals that obviously is lacking in a lot of these situations going on today.
You know what I noticed about you, and I was just sitting here thinking as you were speaking, you're the kind of woman that there is hope for, you know, meaning that, what I mean, you know, like, she's the kind of woman that a real man to get with, even though I'm sure she's pretty, you know, rough a little bit, she'll be rough a little bit.
You're on the edges.
Right. But you're the kind of woman that a man can bring to full womanhood. He can really, because you're not too far gone. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how else to say it. You know what I mean? You know.
Do you really know what he means?
Yeah, because you do have your little female qualities there. You do recognize what a real man should be like. And mm-hmm. But there are some women that are so far gone, they hate men so much, it's almost impossible to bring them around.
Just like I think there's hope for you that one day you won't, you know.
I knew she would say that.
I think there's hope for you.
Yeah. I knew she would say that.
All I ever do is hold the mirror up.
And what is the hope for me?
I would hope that you would Maybe visit all these women that you hate so much, these millions of women in this world that you tend to think that 99% of women are mean and bitches. You know, I mean, my goodness.
But I don't hate them.
You have a strong feeling about them.
No, I recognize now
what
the, I recognize what the problem is. And by recognizing the problem, I'm able to deal with it. So I don't hate it at all.
You know, and all I'm simply saying is that we're all a little rough around the edges because no one is perfect. All I'm simply striving for is to be a better person and to be a positive influence in someone's life, a positive place.
Well, I do have to admit, I really like you.
I really do like you, too.
And I'm glad that you you handle yourself very well tonight.
I'm trying in spite of being on this hot seat.
Let's talk real quick about salvation, since you are studying to be a minister. Mm. You said that you are saved. Mm-hmm. Did you say that early because you went down and you accepted Christ, right, at this church?
I said when I took the invitation, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
And that was salvation for you?
That was salvation for
that
me.
That was salvation. And how do you know that you were saved at that moment?
Because I believe in what Jesus stood for, and I accepted his sacrifice and his ultimate death as the cleansing process for my soul.
And why do you believe it?
Because I choose to.
You choose to. What is it that you believe? You believe what the Bible said or the preacher said? What is it that you believe?
I believe in what the scriptures say about what happened, and I believe in what he stood for. You know, there's people who, you know, there's Buddhists, you have Muslims, you have all these different faiths, but there is only one God. I choose to be a Christian. God asked you to choose him, so I choose to be with him. He chose me, but I had to also accept. And when I accepted that responsibility as being his child and walking in the light, what I do is try to be a beacon for humanity and to say that, try to be nice, try to be a good person, try to be kind. I'm trying to represent what Jesus stood for. He loved people in spite of all their inadequacies.
And how? So when you accepted him that day, did anything change in your life?
Of
or
course.
What changed?
In 1989, I'm talking about 1989. See, you can't know this because you don't know me personally.
Right, that's what I'm asking.
But I have to know what I've gone through, and I've seen the changes in my life. And there are still things that I'm still trying to change and work on. They're my personal inside things that I want to fix.
Like what?
They're my personal things that I want to fix.
And how can you fix them?
Because I know they exist. And if you don't know you have a problem or know you have something that you need to change, then you never change it. For instance, if I walked around at one time hating all men, and to this day, after 6 years, I'm still walking around hating all men, then I haven't grown. So I personally, walking in my own life and seeing myself, I do see changes in my life. And people that know me have seen some of those changes.
And you have changed from what to what?
I have changed from a person who was just existing to one who is searching for the truth. And in finding that truth, what I see it as the truth, I share it with those who want to listen. If you don't want to hear it, all you got to do is leave the room or turn the TV off or turn the radio off. Or, you know, you choose to listen to what I have to say. And if it's not making any sense or if it's rubbish or babble, as they call it, then you do what you have a choice to do. Go and listen to someone. Go listen to you.
Yeah. And so... You changed from the way you used to live.
Some of the things that I used to do, you know.
So did the change come about as a result of salvation, or was it something?
The change came about as I became acutely aware of what was right and what was wrong.
Yeah.
For instance, one of those things was I used to smoke probably a pack and a half of cigarettes a day. A pack and a half of cigarettes a day. If I picked up a cup of coffee, cigarette. If I get on the phone, cigarette. If I go out nightclubbing with a drink, you got to have a cigarette.
Yeah.
You get upset, cigarette. After sex, cigarette. You know, that day I quit smoking immediately. I quit smoking that day, and I haven't smoked since 1989. That's one of the most visual things that people can see that know me. They know what I used to do.
Right.
They know about those cigarettes, how I used to leave their ashtrays full of ashes. But now I appreciate myself more. When a man comes to me, he doesn't smell an ashtray. And if our lips come together, it's not brown all over my teeth and my breath doesn't stink. And then I'm healthier, you know. So I began to take better care of myself and just to become cleaner inside so that I can...
Do you think men and women should have sex before marriage?
Personally, I believe that you should not, because mm-hmm. that's what a lot of the problem is now. All kinds of things can happen. You can get pregnant. You can get a disease that you can't get rid of. Or you can catch a hold of one of those fatal attractions that you can't get rid of. And that's why marriage is supposed to be something that you grow to desire.
No.
You don't just grab somebody. I saw on TV today a cyber cybersex. I mean, even the name is pitiful, cybersex, where people get on the computers and they get up a date, you know.
Yeah.
You meet on the show and you kiss that person. You kiss that person for the first time you see them, and you don't know where their mouth has been. With all these diseases that are running around.
We have a sick society right now.
Very sick society.
Very sick society. Homosexuality, you said that you didn't agree with that. Is that right?
Yes, I don't agree with homosexuality.
And why not?
Because it really serves only one purpose, basically. I know that the homosexuality, for those involved in it, is a nurturement situation where they feel that they want, maybe they weren't getting it somewhere, and they, you know, maybe a woman hurt them or a male hurt them, so they choose the same sex. Basically, the only thing that can come from the union of two same sex is self-gratification. So to me, it's selfish and nothing. Life, procreation, the purpose of sex in the beginning was for life to come forth. But if two men come together and two women come together, I'm sorry, my homosexual brothers, I love you. But there is something very wrong with homosexuality, and it is not something that I believe is right.
Good. And so what do you think about all these new laws where they want to get married, they want to adopt children? Do you think they should adopt children?
I don't believe that as well, because basically kids are confused enough as it is.
Yep.
And if you have two of the same, you know, which one do they look at as, you know, traditional things just haven't died yet. So traditionally you have in a family situation a mother and a father, male and female. But when you have two of the same playing, your child's going, you know, and they try to convince us that the children are aware, they're strong, and they see the differences. But the kids grow up missing something, even though they may not be aware of it.
Do you think homosexuals can overcome it?
Can overcome homosexuality? Well, the bottom line is that just like a drug addict can overcome drugs, or a promiscuous person who loves sex every night, can overcome promiscuity, an alcoholic can overcome that problem, or whatever that problem may be, it can be overcome. And as I read the scriptures, these are what the laws of the word say. Men should not lay with men, and women should not lay with women. You should not be drunken. You should not do this or that. You should not lie. It doesn't mean that you're good for being a liar. You shouldn't be a liar. So, no, I don't think it's right.
And don't let another man teach you.
Don't let another man teach me.
That's what the Bible says as well.
Well, I have to find that myself and get a better understanding of can you tell me where that can be found after this break?
Let's take a break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Okay, dokie.
And then I want to talk to the young lady with the mic. Are we going on break? Okay, we're on break. Come on.
Bond. Brotherhood organization of a new destiny. Rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man. For more information, call our Los Angeles office at area code 213-759-3844. Oregon office, area code 503-955-1651. Or write, post office box 86253, Los Angeles, California 90086. Bond, Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man.
Okay, we are back, and I am still wearing my Afro-American shirt, straight out of Africa. Mommy Africa. And Faye is still here.
Yeah, I'm
I want to ask a young lady, can you stand for me? How old are you?
12.
What do you think about the way society is going today, the way young people are, and how do you see things? What do you think about things?
Well, I'm going to start off with gangbangers. I think there shouldn't be any kind of gangbangers because in our school, they're trying to stop from the writing from our, our walls, because kids nowadays at our school, they ditching classes and writing and stuff, thinking they can get away with it. But later on in life, they go catch up, and remember what they're going to, they did.
Absolutely. So come back on them.
Yeah. And they go,
What school do you attend?
Webster.
Where's that?
West LA.
West LA? Oh, yeah. Are you afraid to go to school?
No.
No. So when you see kids, do you see kids fighting and all that kind of stuff at school?
Yeah.
And that doesn't frighten you at all?
No, today on the bus, I guess this Hispanic lady, she slapped this black girl, my friend. So then my friend, she took off her shoes and took off her belt and slapped the lady in the face with her belt. Because Hispanic lady just hit her for, God knows what reason.
Man, so you and your friend was on the bus coming home from school. A woman is on the bus.
I was on the bus, but my friend was off the bus walking towards home. And so I was waving to her. All of a sudden, this Hispanic lady just slapped her.
So, for no reason at all, she just walked.
I don't know what happened. I just seen the lady slap
her. Oh, but you don't really know what happened to cause the slap. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Would you like to go to another school where there's less violence and you can concentrate on your education?
Well, our school's not that, violent, but if people stop fighting a lot, then I guess our school would be better. You know, it's a good school and all, but just some people at a school just like to pick fights and instigate and stuff.
Yeah. Good. If you can change society, what would you change?
I'll change drinkers and beaters, molesters, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Good. What do you want to be when you are you going to college and all that?
Mm-hmm.
To study what?
I want to be an actress and I want to study science.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, all I'm right. glad you came tonight. You keep up the good work, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And don't let them get to you.
Okay.
All right. If they do, call me. Call Bond. All right. The young lady in the back want to make a statement. Can you stand for me?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to explain about the business. I'm in business, and black people, I feel, are very critical of their own people when they're going into business.
Yeah.
And I think you have a real hard time, much harder. They don't question going the man, maybe the Korean guy who owns the business.
Speaking to the mic for me.
Oh, yeah. They don't question what he has had to do to get his business. They go in and they buy. But when they seem to come into a black business, they become highly critical. And I just find it kind of sad that they would do that to their own people.
What kind of business do you have?
I'm into the dress shop business. I have a clothing store.
Really? Where?
On Venice and Hauser.
Really?
And I noticed that if you're selling food, you might have a better chance.
Yeah, they love
they like to eat. But they're very highly critical of you if you have another kind of business.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like disrespect when you walk into a person's business and you stay there for a long time and you don't buy one little thing,
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I think black people.
Why do you think that is? You're absolutely correct.
No, I think it's a lot of it has to do with being, maybe there's some envy and jealousy as to why didn't I do this? And so they penalize you just a little bit. I kind of think that. That's kind of undercurrent.
Yeah.
I don't want to say all black people are like that, lot of them do have that problem with seeing another black people. It's a lot of jealousy and envy amongst black people, and I think that's so sad because you got to encourage each other. You see one person go into business, they black. You should say, "Well, I know I can do
Speaking
it."
Speaking to the mic.
Oh, you could. That's encouragement for the next black person to do it, but instead they give you a harder time.
Yeah.
I have neighbors, business neighbors. I mean, and they. If you got a nail shop, if you got a burger stand, you can make a lot of money. But if you go into some other kind of business, it's very
hard,
difficult.
Huh?
Yeah.
Are most of your customer black?
Most of them.
Are black, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's sad. But I know what you mean.
But
it goes right back to that slave mentality that I was
Yeah, that's what
to.
I'm saying. I don't think we've ever been taught the cohesiveness that we need in order to. I don't know. It just isn't there.
I want to ask. Say this to you first, and then I would ask Martin something. I don't think that has anything to do with a slave mentality. And the reason I don't feel that, because before the Civil Rights Movement, during the early 50s and 30s and 40s, black people had businesses.
You're
they
right.
did real well.
You're right.
We didn't have that kind of problem.
No,
and that's
didn't.
When we were really coming that's out true. Of slavery.
But,
and so
but
I don't think it's a slave
mentality now, because
yeah.
I think that... When I was growing up in the neighborhood, everybody helped each other in my
that's
community.
Right.
But here now, black people just seem to be against each other, in L.A. at least. I don't know. But where I came from,
they just helped
each other. No family starved, no family, just everybody pulled together. But I don't see that right now.
I remember my granddad, he had three women. He had his wife on the end of one row. He had another woman in the middle, and my grandmother. And he took care of all three women.
But all three women were taken care of.
He had kids by all the women, right? As a matter of fact, he had more kids by my grandmother and the woman in the middle than he did his own wife. But he would go to the market, and he would buy food. And on the way, he would divide that food all the way between the three women. Mm-hmm. And whenever they would have to work, they all went to work together. If somebody got sick, they stood together. If someone decided to do something, they all worked together. They didn't have a slave mentality.
Well, I noticed that the people who are very respectful that come into my store and support my store are the middle-aged women on up. But the people from maybe the early 20s to the 30s, they're not very respectful. But the middle-aged women, because they have a different kind of mentality and were brought up into a different type of home. So,
and what's your business again?
What type of business? It's a clothing store.
What's
the Vintage
name of it?
Rack. It's called the Vintage Rack Plus. See, I sell old and new clothes.
And where are you located?
5411 Venice
Boulevard.
You better
be trying to speak up. There's some good advertising. I'm trying to get you to say it.
5411 Venice Boulevard.
All right.
Thank you.
Martin, I want to ask this white guy something.
Okay, that's the way.
Are you surprised to hear that what you just said about the jealousy between blacks and that we don't support each other or we're so critical when it comes to one another, but when it's dealing with the white man?
Yeah, because on the surface they talk about unity and everything. And it's kind of surprising that underneath that they really don't – it's like it's okay that we're all together in this until someone starts succeeding. And then when they start succeeding, they start to move away from the pack.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
sure,
and when they start to move away from the pack – You're not with us anymore. You're against us.
So you're not surprised to hear that about black people?
I was, yeah.
When you first started hearing it?
When I first started hearing it, because they on the outside, they you know, on the surface, you know, on media and everything, they all talk about unity, 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 and then...
And then underneath it's something
underneath
different.
It's something different, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff you don't know about us, but we're going to tell you about it. Just hang around. Don't you agree that there are a lot of things in the black community that is going on that is being covered up? And because it's being covered up and not dealt with, it's destroying us.
That's why communication is the key. Shows like this, we need to get more shows, basically just to communicate and talk about those problems. And if we don't get a media, we need a media. We need a mass media, black media, so we can address all the problems and get a fair shot to tell what's really going on or to at least discuss it with all of our different opinions. But if we don't talk about them, everybody keeps it all to themselves, like he says. You know, we talk about unity on the outside, but what is causing us not to unite?
Yeah.
And there are many reasons for that.
Sin is the main
reason. Oh, for
sure.
And lack of spiritual foundation.
Yeah. Black people, I think, I won't say that. But black people are not saved. They think that they are.
I know.
But in reality, they are not.
Yeah, so I call some of those sanctified fools, you know, the ones who run around saying God this, God that, but their actions are completely opposite of what they're preaching.
And do you understand now about that slave mentality, that it's not really a slave mentality?
I still believe in that because, you know, maybe that changed up in the 50s and 60s and so forth, but that still is being influenced in our situation by the way things are being done, you know, to cause that mentality to resurface again.
We are out of time.
Oh, shucks.
I've had a ball.
So have I.
I appreciate you coming on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. And you stay strong. And I hope one day you get a good black man. Come to Bond and we got one for you.
All right.
Bye. Thank you.
Somewhere in the world today, men have got to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what they're I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find.